live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Well, lordy, lordy, it is indeed Sunday. A bit loud there, let me lower down a touch. Just a touch. Just by a gnat's breast, yes. I hope that you're all okay and wonderful and doing fine. What have we been doing? Well, we've been trying to plug the book as best as we possibly can. And thank you so much for everyone who's bought it, and to everyone who's bought it even, and for your lovely feedback and commentary. Yes, we've had some amazing feedback all over Amazon, and we're very thankful, sincerely, and humbled. Yes, I will go as far as to say humbled. I will say that people have pointed out a few grammatical errors, and we've amended them. So if you've managed to buy the copy up till today, you've got a first edition. Yes. You've got a collector's item. Yes. Now, we also have about maybe 10. No, that's a lie. Less than that. About 6 of these still here that we're going to put up on the website sometime this month. We're going to sign them too. Yes. So they will be first editions. First editions. What a thing to say. Honest to God. Yeah. Madness. Just madness. So that said, we have got a show to do today, and we are going to talk about ghosts. Again, thank you for the feedback on the dark episode, the dark paranormal. Episode 2 came up, The Exorcism, yes. And it was very scary, wasn't it? Yeah, I must thank you all for the feedback on that too. And that's enough thanking, I think. How are you all doing? Oh, did you see in the news? Peter Green has died. If you don't know who Peter Green is, he started Fleetwood Mac. Yes, he did. An Englishman, a blues musician, and an all-round genius. He turned me on to his music. I'll tell you what happened, actually. It's an interesting story. It's not that interesting. But when I was about 14, when we first got Sky TV, yeah, satellite television, MTV was on it. And this was in the 90s, of course. And I heard a riff on an advert, like, which was a collaboration of all guitar riffs. And this one riff jumped out like an insane clown. And I was like, wow, I want to be a member of that posse. And I went into school the next day and said to our science teacher, Mr. Jones, and this is a good example of how teachers can be absolutely pivotal to how your life pans out. I went into him and I went, do you know this song? I only know that it goes. And he went, yeah, it's Oh Well by Fleetwood Mac. And I said, Fleetwood Mac? As in, like, I want to be with you everywhere, Fleetwood Mac. And he was like, yeah, yeah, but that was the first band. So he said, bring a tape in and I'll do you a load. So he did. He done me a load of Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. And me and my friend went nuts on them. So much so that 20 years later, my friend, who I'm talking about here, sung I Need Your Love So Bad to his wife on their wedding day. So it's just interesting how both teachers and musicians can play a part in people's lives they may never meet. So I just wanted to say, on air, thank you to Peter Green for your music. Your memory will live on forever. And to anyone who doesn't know his music, go search some Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. He's the founder of Fleetwood Mac, and he's amazing. That said, let's get spooky. Firstly, we want to thank some Patreons. Hooray! And we have 2 new Patreons this week. We have Anita and Ryan Challen. So, in the style of the late, great Peter Green, let's say thank you via the medium of song. The guitar's out. It's not in tune, but I'm not arsed. So, this is a thank you to you two guys. Yeah. Oh, Anita and Ryan Challen, that's a thank you. Oh, Anita and Ryan Challen, that's a thank you. Cause you signed up to the Patreon and you're keeping the lights on. Oh, yeah, ended on a 7. Thank you to you two guys for signing up to Patreon. If you want to sign up to Patreon, don't forget, each time we put an episode out, we put an extra episode out on Patreon. It's generally me and Becca shooting the breeze. Yes, it is. And they're very well liked, apparently. So if you'd like to hear them, you need to go and sign up to Patreon. It's patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. It's very simple. Now that all that's out of the way, shall we get to some spooky stories? Because isn't that why we came here? Yes, it is, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. Then let's crack on.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, it's time for some Weekend Weird. And although they've been very UFO-centric over the last few weeks, we're going to keep that going. Why not? I'll tell you why not, because unless you've been living under a rock for the last week, then you will have seen that the Pentagon has slipped up a bit. It did say that their UFO program had been disbanded. However, it hasn't. It's just been renamed and it carries on going. Because basically it came to light in a Senate report last month, which outlines like America's spending on things, that the nation's intelligence agencies are intending to keep it going and indeed fully fund it. It says that it is to standardize collection and reporting on sightings of unexplained aerial vehicles and was to report at least some of its findings to the public within 180 days of the passage of the Intelligence Authorization Act. Now, in layman's terms, what that basically means is there is an act that is getting passed in America, this Information Authorization Act. Once that's passed, then this hidden little department in America, which is officially called the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force, the UAPTF, yes, they need to divulge some of their UFO findings to the public. Yes, how exciting. Now, is this the disclosure that so many ufologists have been discussing over the last few years? Maybe. Maybe it already happened with the HMS, not the HMS, with the American Navy Nimitz videos that were released by the Pentagon recently. Maybe we're living in the era of disclosure. I don't know, but it's certainly looking that way. How very exciting for all involved. Okay then, guys, that was this week's UFO-centric Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
Yes, so now it's time to delve into the spook a proper. But I must say, just to carry on a little bit from that Week in Weird, it is kind of exciting, isn't it, that governments are starting to say, well, we don't know what they are about UFOs. It's normally, it's definitely nothing. But this is kind of exciting and very 2020 that we could indeed, by the end of the year, find out that we are indeed not alone. That would just be the icing on the cake, wouldn't it? Arguably, we'd need an invasion as well, wouldn't it? We're not alone and they're very angry, unfortunately. Be like, oh, great. Wonderful. I think it all started with the decline of Blockbuster. Yeah. Once you stopped being able to rent videos, everything went tits up. Anyway, shall we get some spook? I think we shall. Our first email today comes in from Nina Peterson. And they write, hey, Kevin Becker. Hey.
Hey.
I've been listening for a while now, binged all your old episodes, and now I'm all caught up. You guys are great. Thank you. I love that you guys did the don't episodes to keep spirits high. You're very welcome. I have a few stories for you that I've experienced when I was younger. I'm from New Jersey, close to where the woman you met up with lived in Mantua, actually. Haha, that is interesting. Bloody hell. I thought it was awesome that she talked about being so close to my hometown. I'll be sending more stories in once I've typed them out. I've always considered myself to be quite sensitive to these things, and I hope you enjoy. How very interesting. I'm sure we will enjoy, by the way, but how very interesting that you live near, what was that lady's name? Laurie, of course, our Laurie. Who I met Laurie. Yes, I did. We went for a pint in a Liverpool oldie pub. How very interesting that you live very close. Was it Mullica Hill? I think it was. I can't recall. But thank you for your story, Nina. And this is your story. The house I grew up in was built on an old Indian reservation, or burial ground. My mum looked into it and everything she found said it was unconfirmed which of the two it was. I remember from the ages of 4 to 9, I would have a hard time sleeping because I saw a black mass in the top corner of my room and I always felt uneasy with it. My parents told me to recite some Bible verses to help me sleep, which always made the black mass disappear. When I was about 11, my mother went to the hospital and was staying overnight. Everyone in the house was in bed and asleep when I woke up because it sounded like someone was walking around the kitchen right below me. I laid in bed for a few more minutes trying to go back to sleep, but the footsteps got louder and I heard cabinets start slamming, so I got up thinking maybe my mum's come home. As I walked down the hallway, the footsteps and slamming stopped. I went halfway down the stairs where my mum had a wooden box with a glass door hung on the opposite wall that was always closed, as you needed a lot of force to open it. Well, it was wide open, and the things inside on the floor below. It was one of those older doors where it closed by pushing a metal bar into wheels and locked. It needed a lot of force to open it. I freaked thinking someone was in the house as no one was in the kitchen, so I ran and woke my dad up. He went downstairs and checked around and no one was in the house. From that point forward, I always felt like something was watching me in any dark part or corner of the house. especially the basement, but only when I was home alone. When I was 18, I came home to the house empty, about 8 o'clock at night. I put things down on the kitchen island, wallet, keys, phone, cigarettes and lighter, and went upstairs to change into my pyjamas. I came back down and was grabbing my cigarettes and lighter to go and have a smoke in the garage because it was winter, when my lighter wasn't there. I was thinking how I know I put it down there, but maybe I took it upstairs with me, so I went back upstairs, but it wasn't there, so I just grabbed another one from my room. I turned the light on to the living room that led to the garage, and on the couch was the TV remote, with my lighter sitting perfectly on top of it. Too perfect for me throwing it in there and forgetting I did so. So I freaked a little bit, but grabbed it and went to smoke. I came back in and I immediately felt this heaviness in my chest, like it was hard to breathe. I walk to the kitchen and get a drink, but that doesn't help. I feel eyes on me everywhere I go. So I sit with my back against a wall in the kitchen, where I can see almost every part of the first floor, and I call my current boyfriend as I now feel a hostile presence is in the house. He answers, and before I can even say hello, he asks me what's wrong. It's like he knew somehow. He was also sensitive. I tell him how I'm feeling, and the darkness just gets stronger around me as I talk, almost like it was angry I was talking to him. He then tells me he always knew something was in my house, but didn't want to freak me out because I never mentioned it to him because I didn't want to freak him out. He said there would be often times when he would sleep over in the living room, he would be woken up feeling like he couldn't breathe. He ended up coming over and the feeling dissipated. It was like the spirit didn't like when others were around. Fast forward to now, 7 years later, and anytime I go to that house when no one is home, regardless of night or day, I feel eyes on me and just anger towards me. I've had friends mention things like when they stay or would stay in the living room, or when my cousin lived in the house after I moved out when she brought up it being haunted in a joking way, and I told her it was. She immediately went white and said, "I fucking knew it." Thank you, and much more to come. Much love, Nina. Why, thank you, Nina. Apologies to anyone who was a bit, there was a swear word at the end of that. But, you know, sometimes you've got to say verbatim what comes in. Or verbatim, if you will. But what a story, eh? Black masses in the corners of rooms. Jeepers creepers. I think I say it's a well-known thing, but I think we've discussed it in the past that it's meant to be the corners of rooms, isn't it, where these demons and things hide. People often say if you get any house cleared or smudged, etc. Like in the story on Dark recently, they go into the corners of the room with the sage and whatever to get rid, because that's where the evil hides, in corners of rooms. Yes, it does. That's a horrific story though, Nina. Please do. You've said that you've got other stories to send in, so please do send them in. And don't forget, guys, if you've got stories, we need them. Send them to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and we will read them out. Yes, we shall. Thank you so much, Nina, though. That was terrifying. Yes. I see shadows now and again, but I'm convinced it's the fact that I have bloody awful eyesight, literally. I once followed someone who wasn't Becca in a store for about maybe 20 minutes, just idling around, because she also had a red coat on, and Becca wore a red coat that day. And then when this woman turned around, I was like, uh-oh, you're not Becca. And she was like, no, let go of my hand. So, thank you. And do send your stories in, please, because we're running a bit low now. So we could do with them. Yes, we could. Now, the next story that we're going to have, I found in an old email that I'd sent to myself. And it was just as the start of the show. And what I basically done, before we had any listener stories in, I started collecting ghost stories that I found online and stuff. All true stories. And ones that I thought, God, that's scary, I'll send it in. The reason that I'm going to read the next one out is because I don't want you guys to think that everything that's truly scary is just going to stay for the dark episodes. It's not. It's not at all. I want us on this show to get terrified too. So the stories that are going to follow, one is from this email that I've sent myself. I'm not even sure where I've pulled it from, if I'm being honest. So if anyone's heard it before, it's a genuine story. I've even got the name of the person who wrote it into whatever it was, whether it be 14 times or The Unexplained or whatever. But if anyone knows where that is, then do send it in. So that's going to be the next story, and it is bloody terrifying. And then we've got in the second half an email continuation from last week. Remember last week we talked about El Cajuda? What was it? Cadeo, El Cadeo. So stick around for that because it's bloody scary. I tell you it is. Anyway, without further ado, the email I sent myself of a true scary story. Hooray! So this story is called Harold and the Hat Man. I have a close friend named Harold. We've known each other for about 30 years. He and I, at one point, had some very strange encounters with the Ouija board. Although the following experience had nothing to do with our Ouija experiences, I mention it as being illustrative of the fact that Harold and I have had more than one shared paranormal experience. When we were first introduced by a mutual friend, it was as though we'd known each other for years, and we've always been very close. The paranormal encounter that I consider the most frightening of my life was also simultaneously experienced by Harold, in slightly different form, but with the major elements of the experience coinciding. About 25 years ago, whilst I was living at my parents' house, I awoke one morning to see my bedroom door opening. Immediately, I thought, with distinct clarity, my father is coming in to empty the trash can. As the door opened more widely and I didn't see my father enter the room, I realised that something else was going on and I began to panic. Thinking someone had broken into the house, I believed myself to be fully awake and not dreaming. As I became increasingly aware that someone dangerous was about to enter the room, I also realised that I was lying on my back and could not move. I then saw a black two-dimensional shadowed outline of a man in what appeared to be a pointy-looking trench coat and pointy-rimmed hat enter the room. I've never been more frightened in my life. I somehow knew, as the figure made its way towards me in the bed, that it was going to do something to my neck and kill me. Along with paralysis, this thought was excruciatingly horrific, as the figure, the most malevolent feeling thing I have ever experienced, got to the side of my bed, near my neck. I woke up. The room, as I looked around, was just as it had looked moments before during the dream, with shadows and early morning light exactly as I had seen them moments before. As bad as the experience was, I filed it under Nightmares Beyond All Nightmares and pretty much forgot about it. About a week later, I went to visit Harold, who had a string of bad things to endure. His father had died during the previous year, and his mother had run over his cat, and he'd been fired from his job. His older brother, going through a divorce, had moved in with Harold and his mother. During my visit, Harold mentioned that he'd recently had a horrible dream. He said that one morning he'd woken up and thought his brother was coming into his room to borrow some socks. But he soon realised that it was not his brother opening the door, but some malevolent entity determined to kill him. I said, "Stop, Harold. Was it a shadow type thing with a pointy trench coat shaped body?" "Yes," said Harold, "with a pointy kind of hat on." Harold had also been unable to move as the thing came round the side of the bed, and he also felt like it would do something to his neck. During the discussion, we both remarked how the ideas about my father emptying trash and his brother borrowing socks just kind of came into our heads as complete thoughts that were almost duplicating, especially as my father never came into my room to empty my trash can, and Harold's brother never entered his room unbidden, let alone to borrow some socks. We both agreed that it was terrifying. We've never talked to anyone else with a similar experience, although, since then, I've come across references to the Scandinavian myth of the hag, a succubus-type creature that somewhat mirrors the paralysis and fear elements of our experiences. How about that, eh? Wow. Now, I will say this. I remember now why I sent myself that story. And why I did was because I can recall seeing the same sort of thing. I'm sure I was awake. It was back in the probably 80s. And I was a child of about 7 or 8. And mum and dad had basically went out for the night. And I'd heard them come in. And it was torrential rain. I'd heard the door, front door going. And it was torrential rain. And I walked from my bedroom to the landing and looked over the banister. And looked down onto this man who'd clearly came in. He was stood in the hall by himself. He had a long black raincoat on, like a trench coat, if you will, and almost like a pointy rain hat, and he was shaking himself off. And I remember thinking, bloody hell, who's that? Like, you know, whose mum and dad brought back this weird looking fella? And kind of took a step back so he didn't look up to see me. Then the door opened and shut again, the front door. And I looked down and he wasn't there. And mum and dad hadn't come back. And I always thought maybe somebody just got the wrong address. You know, I don't know why the front door would be wide open for him to just walk in. But I can see it now as I'm saying it to you. I can visualise it in my head perfectly. And it just sounds quite reminiscent of what these guys have seen. Anyway, and I'm getting a bit freaked out saying this, as you may be able to tell. Anyway, should we not get freaked out anymore? Should we have a bit of a midpoint? Yes, let's. Yes, wo es denn midpoint? Ein midpoint ist denn meinen now. Yes, it's time for the midpoint. Hooray and huzzah. I hope that you're all well and you're doing what you can to get yourself free of mind of all the horrors that are going on in the world at the moment. The only plus side is it looks like we're going to be visited by aliens, which is fun. Okay, so in the spirit of how wonderful the paranormal podcasting community is, or the PPC as I like to call them, there is a new show that you need to be aware of. It's called Hardly Paranormal, the Hardly Paranormal Podcast. Now, for full disclosure, I've yet to listen to it. How bad's that? But I hear very good things about it. Now, I've been speaking to these chaps and chapesses over the internet. Yes, that World Wide Web that exists, thanks to the spiders that built it. And we've agreed to do a promo swap, which is what you do when a new show starts out. Because I was given several boosts up when I started, and it's only fair to repay society. And by all accounts, it's an excellent show. So I do want you to go and check that out. And I'll be playing their promo at the end of the show. So stick around to listen to that from those guys. In other news, seriously now, we do need to get your spooky stories in. So if you're sitting on a story, send it in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Doesn't matter if it's short or if it's long or if it's medium-sized or if you say, I can't tell what size this is, send it in to me and I'll do all that work for you. And then we'll read it out. Yes, we shall. Not much to say, really, in the midpoint, other than those two little messages. Yeah, think that's it. Should we get spooked again? I think we shall. I'm doing jazz hands there. Could you tell by the wobble in my voice? Let's see if you can tell when I'm doing jazz hands. Should we get back to it? I think we shall. I'm not doing jazz hands there. I think we shall. You can tell I'm doing jazz hands, can't you? Due to the wobble. Vibrato. Anyway, enough nonsense. Let's get back to it. And we are back once again, like a vertebrae. Yes. So you'll recall last week we were talking about El Cadeo, one of the most terrifying and spooky folkloric sort of things that I've read or spoke out loud in a long time, genuinely. Well, that person who wished to remain anonymous continued with that email, and we're going to continue it right here with more of their stories. I used to visit El Salvador with my family every summer up until I went to high school. So the last time I visited, I was about 14, going on 15. I'm currently 23 years old. The last two times I went were unforgettable, not only because of the experiences and food, but also because of what I witnessed. I will start with my last time visiting El Salvador. It was 2011, I believe. I had witnessed dark magic stuff in my visits before this one, but I have never experienced it personally done to myself. I had even heard of my godmother's experience whilst I was in the US, but I had never thought it would happen to me. But I always feared it would. I had heard other listeners on your podcast retell their stories of sexual encounters with ghosts or the paranormal, so I decided to muster up the courage and retell mine and my godmother's. I have to give my godmother's story first before mine. My godmother was in her last year of high school when this happened to her, probably 2009-2010. She was a single teenage mother. She and her baby girl, in brackets, her baby must have been at least 5 or 6, would sleep in the same bed every night. She'd made new friends with some classmates at the start of her senior year, females and males. She got paired in a group with her new friends for a project. Soon after, she started feeling someone start touching her sexually in the middle of the night. Her baby would even sense whatever presence it was and would wake up crying. They would turn on the lights, but there was nothing. No one else on the bed. My godmother lived with her mother, daughter, brother, and grandmother. Everyone was accounted for in the home. My godmother was embarrassed and didn't tell anyone what she'd felt. Everyone else thought the baby was just having a bad dream. They would go back to bed, but once asleep, it would happen again. Whatever it was touching her sexually again. She could feel the big hands on her. Her daughter would once again wake up crying, feeling something there. They went back to sleep and it did not happen again. My godmother was worried. It happened for a couple more days before she came out and told someone. They found a godly gifted, in brackets I'll explain this later, spiritual doctor, or in the Spanish, curandera. They went to the doctor. The doctor told her that the presence that was coming in the night was one of her classmates who liked her. The doctor told them he was practicing dark magic and was morphing into a monkey-like spiritual form to travel to her in the night to touch her and bother her. The doctor also told her that her daughter was indeed feeling the presence. My godmother never confronted the classmate. She left it be and stopped interacting/socializing with him. I believe the doctor told her to pray a certain set of prayers and how to pray them, but I cannot recall. Since then, it's not happened to her again. Now, for my experience. As I said previously, I was about 14 or 15 years old. After I had heard my godmother's experience, I was afraid of having the same thing happen to me. I never slept alone when I visited after hearing her experience. I would sleep in the same bed with my mum. After spending one of our days in the town shopping and enjoying dinner in town, we went home content. It was like any other night. Before going to bed, we would all, in the brackets, all the women, go to the bathroom, in brackets again. It was separated from the house for sanitation reasons, which is how the majority of homes in rural El Salvador are. We were making our way back inside when I felt a hot hand placed on my butt cheek. I turned around and nothing, just darkness and the light gleaming out from the home. I brushed it off as nothing. I'm just being paranoid, I thought, because it was quick. Maybe I'd imagined it. I went on inside, confident it was nothing, and got into bed with my mum. Not too long after everyone got into bed and all the lights were out, in brackets, the darkness at night in El Salvador is nothing but pitch black. You cannot even see outlines of anything. I felt it again. I was already falling asleep and I had my eyes shut. But when I felt the hot, heavy hand again, my eyes shot wide open and I could see absolutely nothing in the dark of night. I was frozen at that moment. My whole body stiffened as I felt a hot hand touch my chest. I could hear the fast and hard pounding of my heart ringing in my ears. Two things went through my mind. One, is this really fucking happening to me right now? And two, is this really happening to me right now? I was mortified. I couldn't even wake up my mum, who was literally not more than a foot away on the bed. All I did was start to pray. I shut my eyes and I prayed to God and my older brother, in brackets, he had passed over a couple of years ago, over and over again until I fell asleep. By the grace of God, and I like to believe my brother, I was not bothered again. I woke up and was sure it was not in my mind. I really felt someone's hands on my body. I felt violated and at the same time scared to death. I told my father about it since he's very in tune and knowledgeable about the paranormal and spiritual realm. He quickly took action and went to inquire with a trusted spiritual doctor. The doctor said it was a male I did not know who had seen me around in town and was curious enough to come visit me and touch me. He was also practicing black magic and morphing into a spiritual animal-like being. She told my father that he would not be bothering me anymore and to keep praying for protection. I did just that. I did not feel anything else for the remainder of my trip. I'd never experienced anything like that, nor did I ever in a million years think it would happen to me. But it did. Oh my Lord. What a series of stories they are. I'm not being funny, but they are the scariest sort of incubus/succubus sort of stories that I've ever had. And the reason for that is because they're not demonic. They're human beings dabbling in black magic and coming to literally sexually abuse you. That's horrible. Oh my God. And it's freaked me out there. Brrr. And I mean, I know men are bastards, but bloody hell, I didn't know they were black magic bastards. Good name for a band, actually. We're the black magic bastards. Dun, 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 dun. But that is horrific. Thank you for literally being brave enough to put that down. I appreciate that you wish to remain anonymous, and of course we will stick by that, but you know who you are, and if you, God, that was creepy, wasn't it? I'm joining in now. I'm a black magic bastard. But sincerely, send more stories in. Thank you very much. Wow. Well, I hope that tickled your taste buds for some paranormal activity. I know it has, yes. So, we've got some reviews in. Thank you very much, so sincerely, thank you very much, for The Dark Paranormal, the new podcast. And of course, because of the way that that's formatted, I can't read them out on that show, because it doesn't work to be all serious and like, and the man died.
And now we've got an email from JazzyJeff219,
because it's not that sort of show. Whereas this is, so I do want to let you know that I'm very thankful for the reviews that you've been leaving. And these are all 5 stars, so thank you very much, guys. First one, Mr. Enrique, 5 stars, proper chilling. Well-written paranormal stories delivered perfectly with atmospheric music that adds to the suspense. Thank you. 5 stars, literally can't sleep. Thanks, Kev. And this is from Prodigy WVA. It says, long-time listener of Kevin Beckett and wasn't sure what the dark version would deliver, but it really does work. And I like how it's a different approach for Kev and Wintag. Love it. Slept with the light on and can't stop saying the T word in my head now. Thanks for that. That's Tulpa, by the way. Great work. And please, please, please make this a weekly/fortnightly thing. Take care from Squires. Thanks, Squires. It is fortnightly. It's going to be bi-weekly, yes. Another one, 5 stars. Fantastic. This is a wonderfully dark alternative way to hear spooky stories from you. Though your humour and side anecdote are absolutely welcome on your regular We Need to Talk About Ghosts podcast, having a dark, sombre version with straight-up tales spoken to a subtle soundtrack works well for a different mood. I tend to listen more to the dark stories whilst on my 2-hour 4 a.m. commute, and more light-hearted, spooky stuff on the way going home. So now I have Kevin coming and going, and that's from Samurai Monk via Apple Podcasts USA. Thank you, Samurai Monk. Harrowing and terrifying in one podcast, 5 stars. This is from our mate Matt Doppin. He says, a far step from We Need to Talk About Ghosts, but rather than hilarious, this is terrifying. Brilliantly read and truly nerve-wracking. I recommend to anyone with a strong heart and brass. Thank you, Matt. Great show, 5 stars. Huzzah, great show, nicely produced. I do enjoy a good original scary paranormal story. From MK Brew in the US of A. 5 stars, spooky. I love this podcast. It's a spin-off from the much lighter We Need to Talk About Ghosts, and it's great for when you're in the mood to scare yourself silly. 5 stars. From Baker Street Irregular in the US of A. And thank you, that's the whole point. You are meant to scare yourself silly. Another 4-star one here. Very scary. I don't request listening to it at night. That's from Spidercraft. Thank you, Spidercraft. And finally, 5 stars from Bejulia9. Wonderful spooky spin-off podcast. This is a great scary ghost story podcast. It's a spin-off from the much more lighthearted We Need to Talk About Ghost podcast, also highly recommended. Kevin does a wonderful job bringing you into the story. Each episode is really scary and delivers the seriousness it deserves. Very fun when you're in a spooky mood. I completely agree. So thank you, everyone, for those reviews of The Dark Paranormal. I can just about get a breath in there. Now, what I will say is The Dark Paranormal is its own show in its own right. So from episode 4 on, it's only going to be on that feed. Okay, it's very important that you know that. So the Wednesday episodes that we do, currently we're doing an episode every Wednesday of either We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts or The Dark Paranormal. So would you, We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts on Wednesday coming. Now, because it's been really successful feedback wise, I always had it in the back of my mind that I'd do it as its own show. So that's what we've done. So from the 4th episode, which is about 3 weeks away, that will then just be on the feed of The Dark Paranormal. So if you want to keep listening to it, you'll have to go and find it and subscribe. Now, when that does pass over to its own show, we'll just backfill that on these Wednesday shows with an additional We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. So you're not missing any content. But if you want the spooky, dark, dark, spooky, dark, dark, you need to go and subscribe to The Dark Paranormal. So search for it wherever you get your podcasts. I know it's not on Google Podcasts yet. I'm waiting for that to drop. I have no idea what's going on there, Google. Sort yourself out. But it will be everywhere by the 4th episode. Okay. I think that's everything for this. Yeah, so if you'd like to go and listen to more of me, I will be talking with Becca very shortly on our Patreon episode. You need to go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. And of course, you will get extra shows each and every week. We're currently doing 2 shows extra a week over there. And you will, of course, get thanked via the medium of song. So you need to go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. Or you can click the link in the comment section of this episode. Now, as we said earlier in the show, if you please maintain your attention for the next few minutes, we will be playing out with a promo from new podcast, Hardly Paranormal. Okay, so go check those guys out. In the meantime and in between time, I will see you again on Wednesday for We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. And please remember, running a bit short on stories, so if you sat on one, send it in. Contact at Talk About Ghosts and I will read it out. Okay, guys, take care in the meantime. I love you all and I will leave you with the dulcet promotional soundbite of Hardly Paranormal. Tatty bye.
Hey, how does Bigfoot tell time?
I don't know how.
He checks his Sasquatch.
I'm Jerry.
And I'm Lacey, and we're the hosts of the Hardly Paranormal podcast, where every week we examine cases of the strange and unusual and try to find out what's really going on.
Is the Black Monk of Pontefract just a trick of the eye?
Could the Loveland Frogman just be a deformed iguana?
What about Will-o'-the-Wisps?
Poltergeists.
Leprechauns?
Gateways to Hell?
We examine them all and more, and discuss if they're real or if they're hardly paranormal.
Catch us every week wherever podcasts are available.
And remember, it's probably just the wind.
What do ghosts wear to formal events? Bow ties!